2016 or 2017 or something like that. But thank you. It's really nice to be here. It's so lovely. So I'm just gonna start reading some poems that I picked out for tonight. The first poem is called "They Left Us for Paradise." I learned that silver had a smell. Kite strings were made of something stronger than glass. I wondered how thread could slice through my skin so very easily. My childhood was a mess of forgetfulness. An Urdu I did not recognize. Punjabi I kept hidden inside the folds of my clothes. It was not pretty. It was not made of cement and stone like the English that carved itself into my tongue, into my throat, into my sleep through soil and blood. It did not taste the rust from water taps. They told me stories of more sinister things pouring down water, like crumbled glass poured down our throats. We exist without trees rotting into carcasses, reading poems written for the languages we spun into necklaces, decked up. It is time for a celebration. The monsters have gone. They left us our paradise. See, they left us this land that smells of a crown discarded. My mother's silver jewelry underneath my tongue. It tastes of the languages they told me to swallow and spit out for them to steal. It smells of the kites mocking our battles in the sky. It smells of blood. So this next poem is called "Elegy for My Own Adoration." Smudge softened dust and glass and the crushed flowered petals of somewhere fall face first and rub shoulders with the quiet song of something somewhere slowly frothing into life while everything lost to skylight yesterday unlearns becoming in the drains of the city. There's always somewhere else to go. Pink seems to follow even the distance, even the laugh of somebody who has forgotten where to look, even the moon on a day like today, sun scorched and magenta in all of its light. So furiously glittering, you forget what the sky is for. I'm standing on the same corner as every day, wondering if I'm beautiful enough to be allowed to breathe as easily as I do, shifting between what is brazen, daring, reckless delirium, and what is distasteful, tired, a delusional grandeur, ripped to shreds in a moment, confetti made unsoftened before it falls. Okay. So, this next poem is called "Proof." I am asked to explain identity, and how do I speak in friendly terms of pushing the hair on the side of my face away and away and away, as if that feeling is a friend. I take the hand of the first girl I kissed and rub my thumb along her thumb as I hide her from view. I am asked to unravel myself, and I pull strings from every corner of the earth for them to converge somewhere I do not recognize. I am asked about my history, and suddenly I don't speak English anymore. How far back would you like me to go? I am asked to name my oldest fears, and I fall apart in the shape of demons I have no language for in this part of the world. And the booming voice that would slide me apart if I sat too long at the dinner table, and the color of my skin. I am asked where I come from, and my answer is maybe someday. So this next poem has, like, I think, a bit of context. It's about the Austrian painter Egon Schiele, who used to be one of my favorite painters growing up. And about a year or so, I kind of found out that he had, like, really, like, questionable history and really, like, kind of almost like abusive relationship with, like, loads of, like, young girls in his life. And it kind of, like, put me into, like, a deep sense of, like, betrayal and upset. And it's kind of, like, about negotiating that relationship between, like, admiring someone's art and then finding out that it's, like, kind of stained by all of this and feeling, like, a fear surrounding, like, anyone you trust as a result. So this is called Finding Schiele. In the basement of a museum in Vienna, next to Klimt, next to all of the other museums in Vienna, rubbing unsoft shoulders against neon, learning words, line and form, and German, and hesitating to adore the sound. on the cover of a book, and another, and another, in a poem, and then another, in an article in the Paris Review, giving me permission to keep wanting my limbs to look like his charcoal creatures. Inside of the violence I am learning to name. In London, just far enough away, an hour-long flight that I'm not allowed to take. I wonder who his friends are there. I wonder if he's all alone. I wonder if he died knowing I will live someday like this. I wonder if I'm living well enough to want this. Everything white is dirty. Every man is a promise of danger. There is a man in my house and I go home to feel safe. I go home to tell the stories of wanting to crawl back into time and look Sheila in the eye and ask him why he did what he did. I'll go back to Vienna someday, buy print and learn some German and set it on fire and look like a goddess doing it, clothed and uncontrollable. What will the ash be good for other than slithering down some unfamiliar sink? Who would want to hear this story? I want him undead, I want him present, I want him witness, I want him choking on it. So this next poem is called Quiescence. What is the word for being full of forgiveness and having nothing to forgive? I don't know what a mango tastes like anymore, but I like to pretend it would still taste like home. I like not knowing what home tastes like anymore. I have to unlearn every faith, especially the one that taught me to name the sphere and the one that taught me to grieve for something even before it is lost. I've been grieving home since I was 18. I'd like to belong to a tradition other than this one, something that means more than I happen to live here and sucked its dirt into my skin, and something I could help build, perhaps. The next home is kinder in what it asks me to swallow, softer in the crimes it asks me to forgive. I need to relearn the quiet intimacy of strangers, the one that lets us all sleep at night without aching for everything that's dead, everything that we have killed, everything we could still bring to shore, the one where we avert our eyes from the guilt inside of each other's joy. Perhaps this is a forgiveness too, a shadow folding over the violence we are too weak to name. We have been taught grief since we could name the fruit on our plates, as we cried for all of the trees accidentally sown between our lungs. Perhaps they engulf the things inside of us that would resemble the urgency of a war-stricken people. We are a war-stricken everything. Something's always burning. I left a fire at home and it has scorched every tree and there is nobody left to forgive me. This next poem is called Materia wilts into my skin and carves the broken paper. A temporality in a godless universe was not a profitable topic of discussion in David Mitchell's The Rome Clocks. Materia wilts into my skin and carves a broken daybreak into my flesh, asking God to exist and begging the earth to unwind itself. Burgundy shadows lost among tired soil as if kissing the ground would be enough to give it a name. As if tear-stained footprints could build a nation the way we built religions out of stone. I crowned myself the monarch of this realm when I forgot it had already died and nobody cared who ruled it anymore. The ocean comes quicker than the rain and nobody cares who birthed a flood if it will swallow our altars just the same. Nobody will ask the apocalypse what language it speaks, as if it came begging for small talk and a place to sleep. We fashion civilization out of a raindrop and a seed, forgetting that summertime tastes the way it does only here, that the gods were long dead before we learned we are so utterly alone, that the ground will break open and choke us to death before we know where to begin. This next poem is called I Don't Know How to Say It in English, and So I Kiss You Instead. A vastness hanging that we don't name, learning silence in different languages, teaching quiet how to bend. This is our tongue of common ground, our earth of crumpled sheets, and I bleed what I say I don't have words for. I bite my lip to stifle accusation. It is not your fault that I have learnt what I lack to be what you deserve. I shake at the blue of your eyes. You exist somewhere my words don't go. You bury your dead in a different soil. You bury your dead. Careful with this ocean. It would swallow all we choose to leave unsaid. When you were sleeping, I say prayers I don't believe in, crawling in whispers up your spine. Perhaps this vastness that we've forgiven will forgive us back. Perhaps our skin has more to say. Perhaps I taste enough like home. Perhaps someday you will learn to tell with the silence speaking to me. This is called Love in the Diaspora. We meet in a room full of microaggressions. Make eye contact in the middle of a memory. We hold hands in the shadows of the homeland. Fingers curling in the shape of the border. We make love from across the room. We laugh in the middle of yellow mustard fields, then open our eyes to iced coffee, and our eyes reflected in shop windows. Nobody's watching. The sun hangs like fruit, the shell of a half-forgotten indictment. We kiss in the middle of language. We wake up tangled in the middle of a colonial hangover. We carve sonnets into parts of us that others won't see. An overconfident bruise on the very base of your neck, a scared love bite in the corner of a conversation. I meet your parents in a daydream. We code switch in the middle of sex. We meet again in a sea of white noise. There is nothing ancient enough to carve our names into, and so we pick the earth and the wind and the sea. We hold hands only after sunset. We make love again, and this time our eyes meet. We kiss like fugitives on the drum. I ask forgiveness. I ask forgiveness from the moon for this decadence, for breathing easy while blood spills on lands that are mine, and not ours, and for all of the lines we draw in the shape of ribs. Since birth we are taught cage means protection, means survival, means breathing easy, means if nobody hears a tree fall, do it ever really exist? Forgetting those who planted the seed and prayed with water, for the names I call the earth. This home is as broken as any, basking in the brilliance of a power-dizzy god with more brains than it cares to count. We are brought to our knees before beauty, before the changing seasons and the slice of the ocean against land. The seed planters remember our unspoken promises. They watch the fires we started. They watch us pray to nothingness and wonder who thought our lungs needed saving. My prayers are selfish things, folded inwards. I ask, may I please forget I'm real for a moment longer? And I return year after year begging forgiveness for the weakness in me I call brilliance. I ask the earth for understanding, the moon for silence, calling myself names reserved for kings. I ask forgiveness for breathing easy in the shadow of my luminescence, my shattering magnificence. I am a thief stealing mercy from the heavens, breaking my bones in guilt over the earth, building altars to my hubris. I'm not entirely sure how much time I have, so when I need to stop, just tell me to stop. I think I overcorrected with how many I got. Okay, tell me. So this next poem is called Neon Lights and Other Signs of Modernity. A coronation at sunset, glimmer golden over crisscross horizon, the gutters stumble as if they own the street, as if the gumdrop dust belongs to their filth. Our king is made of glass, and there is no queen in sight. I watch magic turn to dust as oceans unfold, and a city crawls out of the earth, and so we may pretend forever that this snow-globe town was meant to destroy itself. Somewhere darker forests wilt and blood is made of people now. There's gas in all of our lungs. I watch traffic zip through the skyline like a mess of wires, tossed away and forgotten about. I'm forgotten about in this city, and I don't mind. Somewhere acid sinks to make flowers grow, and somewhere bodies turn to broken, shimmering dust, asking the earth if it may be swallowed. Yet here, sleepless sinkholes soaked in crushed diamonds, furniture breathes deeper than we do, collapsing shadows turning straight into see-through floors, a mirror where not acquired, the gospel whispered into cracks, and the earth shakes, but we do not notice. The city is asking for more, but we swallowed all of the good stuff already. Laugh hard enough, and it will call you by your secret name. This is called Self-Portrait as Everything That Remains. Self-Portrait is everything that remains after I'm gone. Burrow fossil-shaped heart shells into the soil for me. That same emptiness that grew into shelter for us. That same crystal-stricken pavement we talked about. For so many lives, I've been writing only for you. I want to leave the city aching too. I want to bend the earth for us. I want to crown its shadows some exquisite thing. Some small, growing, golden, glistening thing. Some old fear fashioned into a throne. I want to dig the past out and pass you a shovel and watch you watch me as I walk away. I want the end of this story to sprout a new friend. A surprise guest at a dinner party. Collapsing ocean tide curling to say hello. The edges of a world I left unwanted, unknown, unbeloved, like the skin falling off of the soles of my feet and planting frozen futures into nothing for me. I am quivering in purples for the imagined grace of the thing of stone. I am weakened wanting to forge something godlike out of this dirt. So put this endless glory somewhere safe and call it real. To look into dust and find a mirror waiting. Called Splendor. Fire gold smoke, crushing shadow like forests leaving, furrowing gold and ghost-like shivers. Look at all of the earth that we have left. Look at all of this time spent sucking all of the magic from the stars, dry like autumn air, like sea forgotten driftwood, like a winter weathered grain. Nobody asked them to burn, so ready, so full of want to be taken, to be dreamt into every beautiful thing we couldn't become. Fruit of ancient labor we like to call a friend. Fissure of quiet wonder, a glow through a faded window. I remember the aching for the diamond struck sky. All of this forgotten, empty adornment. All of this vanity made of skin. All of this unrelentless rebellion in the face of a horizon waiting to swallow. This indulgence, this wine and wall, this lipstick smudge cornerstone at the edge of something I have been promised is glorious. I want to grow into all of the wilderness that dangles from the clouds, the grace of it, the shimmering, the saccharine succulence of learning to unfold. I want to hold every stranger's hand, turn to fuchsia sounds and call them home. I want to stay here watching in the corner of this house, watch shadow melt to dawn and watch half awake as the night turns pink. I want to memorize every sunset and every moment and every ending that colored the years into my skin. I want the stars to envy the life that I stole. This is called In Athens When We Kissed. Under a tree soft shade, the city leapt into shadow for a moment. The sun's hurried, scorching ground swallowed by sea, aching the feast. How many have walked this pavement? How many this land, how many more had walked the same earth, and did the tree watch them surrender too? To glow wash exhaustion, to sleepy summer afternoons, to the touch of their lover's fingers on the inside of their wrists. How much of history sinks into the dust that we breathe, and how much still is memorized? I know nothing of the stories inside these mountains, but I am weakened at the sound of your hurried laugh, chasing sunset in the quiet of the secret corner, watching the street turn into the shell of a city. There were no people there. I made sure when I pulled you away. It was so quiet I forgot to wonder if this place had any room for something so scathing, so full of its own inventive glory, so glaringly golden in all its parts. And this poem is called Decolonizing the Body. There are many things more broken. Language, shadow, liver, home, family, lineage, nation. There are many things less broken. Language, shadow, liver, home, family, lineage, nation. Honey mixed in blood, mixed in water, mixed in poison. They ask, why sugar-sweet eyes do not please me? They ask why I throw forests on my tongue, shading molasses, burgundy colored flowers, sunset. They ask why they must kiss lips bitten and chewed apart, unraveling English rose stolen from foreign garden, growing on home soil, thorns soaked to displease until the pink is so dark that it is blood. Look, they're watching and waiting for it to run clean. They're forgotten about the poison. Unruly, unmanageable, unbecoming, they're forgotten about the color of the sky. They sunk their knives into our beings, asking why we won't grow forests on our tongues. They want to pluck from the folds of our skin the fruit that only grows in these parts of us. They want to make conquest out of molehill. They want to make territory out of brown skin. They want to name my forest theirs. In practice, secrecy, reluctance, memory. I bleed dirt now and I call it soil. Folding practice into secrecy, into reluctance, into memory. Bleeding lips basking under a sun that will not set. Invader tongues asking for the forest they were promised here. Broken language, broken shadow, broken river. Home, family, lineage, nation. They have forgotten about the poison. Honey mixed and water mixed in blood. I think this is the last one. It's called, "You Ask Me What I Mean When I Talk About the Forgetting." Red is my favorite color too, except we never got to grow flowers out of it like you. We were too busy burying all of our dead, and forgot to check if there was room for seeds. Finish your sentence and I will tell you the story. It starts when some white is too tired of looking in the mirror. It starts with the shape of a knife with nothing to slice into. It starts with a dream of poppy fields, the color of all of the white men raging at the rest. The sand line glistens today, and it is the same color as the poppies. It starts with a battle cry to an absent god. It falls onto an earth that wears white, that prays to whomever you will ask, that listens to you and learns your English, that calls the gallows its calling, that praises your queen. It starts with the brown of the soil, it ends with the brown of the people. One and the same, your footsteps have muddied both. It starts with the fall of a finger on a map, the fall of an anchor on unclaimed land. Watch, careful, the land still sings for us without guns daring it to. The land still lives with all of the blood you made it drink. The land still knows itself in the shape that it was split into.
Calamari, everyone.